Let's just settle ourselves right now. Let's just open our hearts, open our hands. That's biblical, by the way. It's not about opinion, or we don't do this in our church. We just do this because the Bible says to lift up holy hands. And your hands are holy if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus today. Amen. And if you're not, lift them up and let Jesus wash you right now. He says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Receive that today. Receive that gift of forgiveness. And then forgive others. Thank you, God. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Just, God, we drink you in, Lord. We drink you in. Yeah, we just breathe you in, Lord, today. Just breathe. The atmosphere of heaven is here. The Lord is here. And wherever He is, there is heaven. The Spirit of the Lord is among us today, so just don't hold back. Don't keep that door closed. Open to Him. Trust Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He wants to restore you today. It doesn't matter how far you've drifted, how long it's been. Jesus just wants to be your invited guest. So just invite Him again. Say, Lord, I invite you into my heart. Just come, Lord. And Lord, I give you permission to come into every area of my being. Lord, every room, every closet. God, the basement, the attic. God, into my mind, into my past and my future. God, I just invite you to be Lord of it all today. Lord Jesus, I'm giving you my heart and I'm asking you to forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I acknowledge today I cannot save myself. I do not have enough power, strength, or wisdom, or cleverness. Come, Lord, set me free. I want to be free. Jesus. You feel like you've been under a heavy oppression. You've been squeezed, you've been pressed, you've had no energy, no strength, no vitality. You just feel like your life has been listless. Jesus is here to set you free today. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, that delivers us from the oppressor. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I have overcome the world. I have all power in heaven and on earth. In His name, every demon, every devil is subject. Every sickness and disease is subject. So together right now, we're going to take authority right where you're at. I want you to take authority with me right now because Jesus is Lord. He's Lord here. He's Lord of us and in us. And Satan, we command you in the authority of Jesus Christ, you take your hands off God's people right now. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Get out in Jesus' name. Oppressor, you go now in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus covers the body of Christ. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Here comes the freedom right now. Just receive right now. Just come on. There's a wave of His presence coming in right now. Just receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Him for it. When you receive a gift, you say thank you and receive it. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Free at last. free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my... That's your confession. And I'm so happy, so very... I'm not depressed. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're simply aligning with what is true. You're ordering your conversation aright, getting in agreement with the Spirit of God and what is true in heaven, and bringing that into your reality. Amen. And you know what? I'm just a kid in the King's court today. Amen. We're all just kids before our Father in heaven. Amen. So come as a child, Jesus said, and receive the kingdom. Amen. Don't. All right, you got to be like David some days. You just got to get your ugly praise on, like Larry said, right? And you gotta get over yourself, right? And David said, you know what? I'm going to dance before the Lord today. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Amen? We're not here to put on a show. We're before an audience of one today. His name is Jesus. Amen? So if people don't get you, they don't like you, it doesn't matter, because we just want to put a smile on Jesus' face today. Woo! And if Jesus is happy in you, you'll be happy too. Thank you, God. You're so good. See, He said He'd be here, didn't He? You feel His presence today? You feel the liberty of the Lord today? You got to just let it go. Amen. The enemy wants to fill us with all kinds of other junk. Get us thinking about all this other junk and start looking at everything as being broken and wrong, and this is wrong and that's not right, and you know, look what's happening over here, and look at them politicians again going at it, and before long it's like you're just in this funk, you know. And Jesus came to defunk you today, to break that stuff off of you, liberate your heart and your mind, and set you at ease in Him. In His presence there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is pleasurable. His presence is good. Taste and see. What? That the Lord is good. Amen. Wow. That's kind of amazing, you know. I was the shy kid. You know, I've told you this story before, but when we were kids, Bruce is a year and a half older than me. He's my big brother. You know, ugly too, but no. Listen, say no and make him feel good. No, okay, all right. Anyways, he's my older brother. And when we were kids, you know, I was a shy one. And so if they had a question and they'd ask me, the adults would ask me something. I said, and what do you think, Keith? And I just look at my spokesman, Bruce. And Bruce says, Keith says yes or no or whatever. So Moses had Aaron, right? He had a spokesman. So, but it's amazing how what God does is He will take your weakness and the thing that you don't even like about yourself, and He will supernaturalize it. He'll just pour His Spirit into you, and He'll take that weakness and turn it into a strength. He actually flip flops it, so the world says, "Man, what happened to you?" you're not the same person I used to know. Man, you used to lose your temper, you know, and you've got it, you know, you've got a whole lot better grip on your temper. I didn't say you had it waxed. You have a whole better grip on your temper than you ever have. You have a whole lot more self-control than you ever had. What is the secret? Well, it's not a secret, right? The secret has to get out. We need to let people know that there's deliverance. There's freedom in the Lord. There's victory over everything in your life. Every problem, every stronghold. God is bigger than that. The devil wants you and I to believe the lie. He wants us to focus on the problem. Because as long as you have wrong focus, whatever you focus on will magnify itself. So if you're looking at the problem and focusing on the problem, it just gets bigger. You know what I'm talking about? If you're having a financial problem, for example, you know, somebody might be having one today. He wants you to dwell and focus on the problem. Because, man, I know what it's like to have some difficulties financially. I've been there, done that in the past. And when we're there, you know, you're just kind of like, there's no stress like that, man. You're like, how are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to feed the kids? You know, how are we going to take care of this stuff? And the enemy will get you so focused on that problem because he wants to eat you up from the inside out. God says, shift away from the petty stuff. This is nothing. Amen. We walk on gold here in my kingdom. Amen. Streets of gold. And it's not about the money, but it is about confidence directed in the right place. It's about putting my faith in my God as being my provider. Amen. He said he would provide for our needs according to his riches. So we trust the Lord. You see, if you've got wrong focus, then your life will go in the direction that you focus. If you're focused heavenward, if your confidence is in God, if you are aligning your conversation, if you are directing your praise to magnify and exalt the Lord in your mind and your imagination, then he will take that place in your mind and imagination. And the reason I say that is because when you exalt the Lord, that means to make him larger or higher than you. Or if you magnify the Lord, that means make him bigger, right? All right. Then you're actually aligning yourself with what is actually true. It's true. So when we praise God and we exalt and magnify him, all we're doing is bringing ourselves up to where he is in the sense that our minds are now in agreement with what is true. And you're free in that place. If you believe you're depressed, if you focus there, you'll continue there. But if you get your gaze heavenward, and you look at the size of your God, the bigness of God, the awesomeness of God, and start to align your conversation, your thinking, and your speech in agreement with what is true about God, all of a sudden the things that were so big are so tiny. Have you noticed that? You've been worried about things, stressing out about things. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? You get into God's presence. You begin to praise him, magnify the Lord. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. And all of a sudden, these things become so petty, so insignificant. When we think about, folks, here we have no continuing city. Amen? We're just here to punch a clock, right, in this world. This day's coming, we're going to be punching out, man. And when that day comes, I want to be right with God. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. Amen? And so we are in the preparation time right now of getting ready to meet the King. He's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a spotless bride. He's coming for a prepared people. And guess what? You and I don't have the capability of preparing ourselves in that sense. All we can do is get into agreement with him. Amen? Hook up. Abide in him who is holy. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for your word today. Focus. Where are you focused? Hallelujah. I'll never amount to anything. I'm just a loser. Focus there. Well, guess what? As a man thinks. Yeah. So God says, I want you to know my thoughts for you. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Amen. Set your gaze on things above. Get out of the chicken yard and get up with the eagles. Amen. Get an eagle's eye perspective. Look from heaven. Get God's view on it. Thank you, Jesus. We struggle. We all have our moments. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's there to say, hey, wrong focus. Get your gaze on Jesus, the King. Amen. And the fact that He's overcome the world. He's overcome all this stuff already. And as a child of His, we're heirs to the throne. What an awesome thing that is. But see, folks, we got to get over ourselves. We got to get past ourselves. The enemy wants you to be just looking at this thing all the time, you know? Worried about this and worried about that. And when we're in ourselves and not in Christ, then everything is a problem. Everything is big. Everything is hopeless. Everything is worthless. So we get our perspective on Him and we see this is the great God of all creation, the God who holds all things together by the word of His power. He spoke, let there be light, and there is light. This is the God that Jesus Christ came, amen, to reveal. Hallelujah. He became a man and dwelt among us. And He said, Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father also. He was the express image of the Father's heart. He came to fully represent the Father to us and reveal that this is how God really is. And Jesus girded Himself and He served. He came to serve. He came to bless. He came to heal. He came to restore. He came to renew. That's our Jesus. That's our God. The same God who spoke it all. And you see, if we get into agreement with Him who is that big and that mighty, and our faith connects in that place with Him, then we see greater things happening in our lives. Because what we do is we shrink God to this little pocket Jesus. Well, I got Jesus with me. He's in there somewhere, you know, and we walk through. You know, I heard some, they were talking to some youth, you know, there is a Christian youth group, and they were interviewing and said, yeah, just, you know, you just do your own thing and then just make sure you got Jesus with you wherever you go. It's like, oh, is Jesus in your pocket or something? Come on. You're talking about He's God. He's Lord. Amen. We don't want to in any way dishonor His holy name and who He is and understand His person and we got to get into agreement with Him. See, what we're doing is we're trying to make Him like us. Well, I don't know if I like that about God, so I'm going to make God like me. And I'm going to fashion a God that fits me. And well, your Jesus might be holy, but mine kind of just say, hey, it's no big deal. Do what you want. Hey, I understand. High five. No, that ain't the Jesus I'm talking about here. And my Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. And He's coming for a holy people. He's coming for a prepared people. Amen. And that's not to put condemnation. That's to say, get ready. Amen. To get ready. Amen. To meet the Lord. Because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Him are abiding in Him. There's confidence in Him. There's armor. There's the security. There's hope, there's peace, there's joy, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, there's all those good graces are in Him as a result of Him and not me just being a good guy today. How many know what I'm talking about? You can be a good guy for a day, maybe. You know, in your own strength. And you can pat yourself on the back at the end of the day and say, man, you nailed it today. And the devil says, ooh, he's right where I want him. Wrong focus. He's focusing on himself and not on Christ. You get it? Because when we're strong in ourselves, we're weak spiritually. So that has to be flip-flopped to where I don't trust myself. I trust Jesus. I trust His grace, His ability in me. And I'm free from myself, basically. Because the enemy can't touch you if you're free from yourself. He can only deal with you through your flesh. So if he can get you into yourself, into your flesh, then he can mess with you. So we got to shift focus. Set our affections on things above where Christ is. Amen. How many were here last week? Wasn't that an amazing time? Man, I know there's probably a lot to do to get things together, but whenever it's ready, we'll have it on the net. We had a passion play last week, if you weren't here, and man, it was so beautiful and so powerful. You know, it really brought it home. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of like it reminds us once again of what Jesus went through for us on our behalf. You know, out of love he did that, out of love for us. You know, so often, folks, we're trying in our lives to get people to love us. We want people to like us. We want people to love us. And you know, we can be in the prison of performance, of constantly trying to get everybody to like us and love us, because there's a void or an emptiness in our hearts that says, I need this person or this to fulfill me, to complete me, to make me whole. And how many know that only Jesus can really do that? He's the one that can only really satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. So when we are focusing on man as a means of making me feel complete or whole, we've got wrong focus too, because man will fail you. Isn't that right? Husbands, wives, as much as we love our wives and our husbands, they can fail. Amen. They can let us down. But if we got our sight heavenward, if we got our eyes on Jesus, and we receive our validation from our Heavenly Father, then we're not shaken when things don't work out right in our earthly relationships. Amen. Or even if we have a bad day with someone we love, God is still in us, and God is the one who sustains, who keeps us grounded. Amen. Sometimes it feels like our tree is about to get knocked over. But praise God that our anchor holds within the veil. It goes deep into Jesus. And God will steady us. Amen. He'll bring us back. We may sway sometimes quite a ways, but God will bring us back to center again. And that center and foundation is Jesus Christ. Our hope, our confidence is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's why Jesus says, build your house upon my word and what I say. He who hears these words of mine and practices them or does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And he didn't say, and I'll protect that person from the winds and the waves. He says, but when the winds and the waves come, that house will stand because it's grounded, amen, in him. Say yes to Jesus, amen. We got to say yes to the Lord. We got to be yes people when it comes to the Lord. There's a song that we sing, and I want to revisit something because I really feel like God is getting ready to kind of do a fresh thing in this season in our lives and as a church body. And we're getting ready. We're getting geared up for CWOW and some other outreaches. And so we want to be reminded again of what we're actually called to do. How do we get this thing done? I mean, it's not enough just to be continually learning and getting in more information. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us got probably more CDs and we have house space or seminars or books or this and that. But the question is, are we living out even the elementary things of the faith? Are we walking that? I don't, like someone said, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we need the grace, we need the strength, the ability that God supplies to do that. So be of good cheer. He's not leaving us alone. He's given us what we have need of to get the job done. And I entitled this in the Spirit of Elijah. And I've talked about Elijah a little bit before, but I want us to revisit this because I believe that as John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, he came with a message of what? Repentance. And he came, he was a wild man, and he was hitting them hard, man, with the reality that unless you repent, you'll perish, you know. And that means I have to turn away from my ways, from my sinful life. Amen. And I need to get my gaze heavenward. I need to focus on Him and what God's plan is for my life. Amen. I need to forsake myself and get a hold of Jesus. And there's a part of us when you hear that that says, well, I don't know if I like that. Well, guess what? That's the part that has to die in you. The part that will oppose the will of God is the part that is hostile to God. So you don't want to listen to that voice. You get it? It's that flesh. You got to listen to the voice of truth. Tells me a different story. The voice of truth, right? Says, do not be afraid. God will be with you in this assignment He gives you. We sing a song. We haven't done it for several years, but we did it a lot. And it's really kind of been what we cut our teeth on as we came over, if you will, on the Mayflower to this church and ended up here by God's providence. It was a miracle how this all came about. This is a God thing. It's not, we just think, hey, that sounds like a great idea, Joe. What do you think? Let's vote. No. Let's say, what God, what are you doing? God, we're with you. So we came over. And God had called us to be a boots on the ground people, really, a people that are going to carry this message, that are going to be an expression of the Father's heart. We're not going to sit around and play bingo on Friday night. Amen. We're going to get a hold of Jesus. We're going to discover what He's doing, and we're going to connect with Him in that place. And I'll tell you what, there is no excitement. There's no joy than being in the will of God. Amen. It completes you. It satisfies you. Oh, hallelujah. So here's the song, it goes, God, is by Kalani Glockler. Some of you know who she is, and she's awesome little girl. We've seen her in, right? Yeah. Seen her in concert at a Spiritual Hunger conference a few years ago. About, I don't know about that, tall, little tiny blonde thing. Yeah, but powerful, man. Filled with the Holy Spirit, you know? So it's not about the size of the vessel, it's the size of the God in the vessel, right? Yeah. And it goes like this, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, Elohim, Adonai, God who answers by fire. Glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Breathe on us, send us out in the spirit of Elijah. Breathe on us, send us out in the spirit of Elijah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight, a highway for our God. We've been given the message of reconciliation to bring the world back, amen, to Jesus Christ, to God. This message has to go forth. It has to come out. And it has to come out of our mouth. We have to speak the truth in love. And God will take a quiet, shy individual, fill him with His power, and raise him up and use him as a mouthpiece. Because it's not of us. And people say, like they did to Jesus, isn't this the carpenter's son? Right? Hey, he's just a blue collar worker, you know? And he's doing these miracles and these signs, and look what Jesus is, and the things that he's saying are like, we never heard anybody talk like this before. Are you hearing me? He was the Son of God and he spoke with authority. But yet, his hometown people were just thinking, man, he's just the carpenter's son, you know. But look what's going on with the carpenter's son. Any carpenters in here? You heard it said, Jesus and me is a majority, right? We can do all things through Christ. It says, the sick are healed, the blind can see, the cripples dance, the demons flee. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The dead are raised, the deaf can hear, as we proclaim the kingdom's here at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will shout. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Jehovah. He's holy. Amen. Folks, we are to be God's expression in this world. His hands and His feet. We are to be about our Father's business. Jesus told His disciples, I'm going away. And as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. You go in my name. I will be with you. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And now I'm sending you to represent me as ambassadors. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the comfort. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to enable you, to empower you to do the impossible. To do that which you naturally could not do. If our Christianity is just an expression of what we can do naturally, it's not true Christianity. It's religion. There's many gifted people in the world that don't know God. God gave them those gifts they have. But God wants us to submit ourselves and our giftings to Him. And He will empower us and then use us. And so our Christianity has to be more, amen, than just word. And just learning about Jesus. We need to understand who we are in Jesus, in Christ, and how we can express Him through the different ways that God has gifted us. Some people are going to be quieter. It's okay. Not everybody's going to be a preacher from a pulpit. Amen? My job is simply to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. All of us are supposed to be serving Him. Amen? Every one of us. Did you know that? You're called. You're called to serve. Many are called, but few are chosen. I want to be chosen, called and chosen. Say, yes, Lord. Here am I, send me. So, in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, this was the prophet who was speaking something that had not yet come to pass, but he says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, when we think about that word, the day of the Lord, what do we think about? Do we think about the return of Christ? Do we think about maybe the birth of Christ? How many know that there are two days of the Lord spoken of in the Scripture? The first one is His first coming as a babe in the manger, as a suffering servant. But the second day of the Lord, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. I don't care what the governments are saying and the fat boy in North Korea is saying and all this stuff. Amen. We're not looking at them. Our God is much bigger. Forgive me if you're overweight. I'm getting in trouble already. But our God is in charge. Our God is in control. And the nations are but a drop in the bucket to the greatness of our God, the God that we serve, who is the God of Elijah. And He said, I'm going to send Elijah before the coming of the day of the Lord, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's talking about a dreadful time, a great time of fear. Now, listen to what Jesus said in Luke 1:17. He said, He will also go before Him. This is the coming of John the Baptist, who preceded Him. He will also go before Him, Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to what make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John's responsibility was to bring people into position for the coming of Jesus. Amen? The first time. And He came in the spirit of Elijah. How do we know that? Matthew 17, verse 10 and 11. And His disciples asked Him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming, future, first, and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. And they did not know Him, but did to Him whatever they wished. And you know the story of what happened to John, right? Took his head off. Now here, Jesus is hinting that Elijah would return a second time in the future to restore all things. Now, if you think about Revelation 3, you know, in 11, it talks about two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Now, there's a lot of different views on this. You know, some say, well, that's talking about the church. And I do believe that that applies, that we are to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah, which is really the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. In the church. And we are actually a restraining force right now against the spirit of Antichrist that is so prevalent. If we take the church out of the equation, this world would have long time ago collapsed. But it's because there's a restraining influence that we have because of the Spirit of God in and working through God's people. Do you get it? And greater indeed is the one in us than he that's in the world. The Spirit of Antichrist does not have power over a child of God. But God does everything according to his plan and his purpose. And he's saying Elijah has come in John the Baptist. But he's also going to come in the future. And so we see in Revelation that there's these two witnesses. And remember when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and his glory was revealed, and it was Peter, John, James and John were there, and they were just blown away by the magnificence and the awesome spectacle of Jesus shining brighter than any sun. They were like blinded by the glory of God. And they saw Elijah and Moses with them, the law and the prophets with Jesus, right? And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But there are some that believe because of these two witnesses mentioned in Revelation are going to be doing the very same things Elijah and Moses did, that this may be Elijah and Moses returning again. But folks, I want to suggest to you that you and I already have been called of God, commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go and represent him in this world, in his authority, in power and in boldness. Okay. And so these 2 days of the Lord are, again, what are they? The first one is his first coming and then his second coming, the suffering servant. And the second is reigning king. Amen. They're not going to be spitting on Jesus this time. They'll be calling on the rocks to cover us from the wrath of the Lamb. Fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. When Jesus comes, he's coming in power and glory. Every knee will bow. Wow. I want to be ready. Amen. I don't want to be a part of, I want to be on the receiving end of that. I want to be with Jesus in that day. And that's why we're here, to be prepared to be with Jesus. Amen. He's raising up an army of warriors who are not afraid of the devil. Amen. We're not afraid of the boogeyman, like the VeggieTales said. So why was Elijah sent? Well, in Israel, they had backslidden and they were worshiping idols and they got into Baal worship. That's nothing more than Satanism. There's been another explosion of Satanism in our time. Amen. Everybody's like, I just talked to a young person who's been, you know, I don't know what grade they're in, like 7th or 8th grade. They says, instead of, it used to be when somebody says, I'm a Satanist, people go, well, a Satanist, why would you worship Satan? He says, now it's a shock if you're not. He says, you claim to be a Christian. They're like, you're a Christian? I mean, that's how bad things have flip-flopped. And so we see the same thing happening in America that was happening in Israel during the times of Elijah. But God had a prophet and he raised up someone, amen, that he used to call the nation to repentance. Now hear me today, because if we do not repent, we will perish. If we don't repent as an individual, we will perish. If we don't repent as a nation, America will perish. We have hope in Christ if we, the people that are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. And if we would turn from our wicked ways, then God said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That is a word for right now for America. America, wake up. America, return to your Creator. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Get right with God. Amen. Call out for his mercy. Don't plead his justice, but his mercy. And then 1 Kings 18, let's read this. 1 Kings 18, 29. And when midday was passed, this is the showdown on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, they had been prophesying all day long, time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no answer. No one paid attention. In other words, they were calling on Baal in the presence of Elijah, who was possessed or clothed in what? The Spirit of the Lord. How many know the devil's no match for the Spirit of the Lord? And all of a sudden, they're calling on Baal and nothing's happening. All day they cut themselves. They did all kinds of crazy stuff to try to get their God to wake up and help them out. You see, the devil has no power when Jesus is on the scene. And you and I are to be that vessel, amen, that is harboring the presence of the Lord. So when we go into a place, then all of a sudden the enemy is hindered. All of a sudden the enemy can't do what he used to do. And Elijah's there. They're calling on their gods. Normally they would have had all kinds of counterfeit signs and wonders, but Elijah was on the scene and he was just mocking them. Well, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you need to wake up your God. And so they're just going nuts here. They're like, man. So finally in verse 30, Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of flour. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, man, this guy's got some faith. Now, it's one thing to call on God to say, Lord, we're calling fire from heaven to consume the offering. He's saying, pour water on it. But he didn't just stop there. He said in verse 34, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And then do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. This is so powerful. This needs to be our prayer, folks. Is every day we need to say, Lord, let it be known in me that you are God. Lord, let it be known through me that you are God in America, in my family, where I work. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Here he's humbling himself, God, I've done all this. I'm stepping out in faith. Jesus, don't let me down. Jesus, take the wheel, right? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know you are the Lord God. In verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, even the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When all the people saw the sign, they agreed, the Lord. Here we are crying out to our God all day long, nothing. And Elijah calls on the Most High God. He answers with fire. And when they saw that, they said, you know what? We're done with Baal. Folks, hear my heart today. I believe that the reason why so many people in our nation are worshiping and bowing down to Satan, to Lucifer, is because the church has compromised. The church has been unholy. The church has had no power. The church has had no influence. It's lost its savor. And God is restoring that in these days. God is raising up a people. God is saying, you, I'm calling you to go in my name. And they declare that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Go in the spirit and power of Elijah today. This is what we're called. I'm talking about the responsibility of the church to make Jesus known so that when the people see that the lie cannot hold up to the truth. When we see the fruit of one's life, the fruit of the flesh, death, the fruit of the Spirit, life and peace. They see God's people living in victory. Amen? Not a perfect people, but a people that know how to overcome and live in perfect honesty. And then they look over here and they say, man, the wages of sin is death. What's wrong with our society? What's wrong with America? It's called sin. Oh, we don't want to talk about sin today, but folks, that's the problem. That is the problem. We think that we're smarter than God. We think that the manufacturer doesn't really have a good clue as to how things should be run in my life, so I'll just take it upon myself to be my own God. Thank you very much. How many found that doesn't work? I did it my way. I was a fool, amen, when I did it my way. I was building my house upon the sand. I was building my house upon self-will, the way of self-will, not God's will, but what I thought was best. And I knew what God said, but I didn't like what God said, so I'm going to do it my way anyways. But boy, when I have a problem, I know who to call on. Jesus, help! Aren't you glad that God is merciful? I think we'd all be toast if He wasn't. But you know, the Lord has something that is superior to anything that we can imagine, anything that the world can offer us. You know, you talk to people at the top, people with all the money, all the toys, and there's more suicide there than there is among the poor. You go to some places, you go to the Philippines where the people, they've got Jesus in their life, they're full of the joy of the Lord, and they have one chicken maybe a month that they get to eat, you know, and they're eating just a very meager meal every day, and sometimes they're going without food, but because they have Jesus, they're rich in faith, and their lives are filled with a joy unexpressible and full of glory. They have discovered something superior to what this world can offer us. In America, we've been so choked by the stuff and the pursuit of things. We've lost our joy. We've lost focus. We've lost way. God's saying, get refocused. Set your affection on these things are temporal. Live for eternity. And you'll discover that the Lord will be your strength. His joy will sustain you. His peace will guard your heart and your mind. As you abide in Him and His will, you will be satisfied. You'll have difficulties, but you will overcome those difficulties because the Spirit in you will help you through every situation. When you're walking through the water, I will be with you. So God revealed Himself. And through this, the Israelites acknowledged, you know what? God, the Lord is the God. He's the true God. He's the living God. He's the God that we serve. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis is the word. Same word from Acts 1:8. You shall receive dunamis when the Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. What we're called to do is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Here's Paul, the apostle, speaking. He's a guy that had all the educations, all the credentials. He had more degrees than the thermometer, as I heard somebody say. You know, and yet he said, all that, it's nothing now. My heart's desire, my goal in life is to know Him. Now, I don't want to just know about God. How about you? I want to know Him. So 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, here is a man who could. He could wow people with his oratorical skills. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the focus. This is the center. This is the foundation of what we believe and what we preach. It's about Jesus, about His blood, about His righteousness, and you and I conforming to His image, dying to ourselves and living unto God, taking up our cross and following Him, walking in newness of life. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest or be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that your faith should not rest or be in what? The wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, we can sit and listen to preachers, you know, and we can make God out of preachers, you know, make gods out of them. And we can be impressed with their knowledge and their ability to articulate the doctrine. And do such a good job at articulating, and be wowed by that, and be impressed by that, and be satisfied by just listening to a very stimulating message. That was a very good message, brother. Thank you. But if there is no substance in that, if the Spirit of God is not in that, it produces zero. We are called to fellowship with God in the Spirit, amen, through His Son, Jesus. Fellowshipping with God, and as a vessel that is in communion with the Lord, we can then be an expression of the Lord's heart in this world, and the power of the Word of God will flow through us and touch lives, and people will be saved. People will be healed. People will be delivered. People will be set free in Jesus' name. And so God is calling us to repentance, to turn away from ourselves, put our gaze upon Him, focus on the Lord, magnify the Lord, discover Him, know Him, and then we can make Him known authentically. Amen? You know, anybody can study a manual and teach a college class, you know, and say, well, this is what you're supposed to do. But there's a big difference when somebody's teaching from experience, from the truth. It's authentic. It's real to them. They're preaching from a conviction in their heart by the Spirit. And that's what you and I are called to. We're called to fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we are to be an expression of His heart through that fellowship with Him. We then become that conduit or that vessel. So when we walk in the room, I don't care if somebody's wearing black lipstick and pentagrams and stuff. Compared to our God, come on, somebody. People go, oh, a Satanist. They're worshiping the creation. We worship the Creator. Amen. Let the God of Elijah, the God who answers by fire, manifest. Lord, let it be known today that You are God. Take authority in Jesus' name. Bind up those things in them. Yes. If they're interfering with your day, just take authority over them in Jesus' name. Bind up those spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Permit you not to speak. And when the time is right and God calls you to do it, you just say, get out. Come out in Jesus' name. You cast them out. You see, if our God is big, and He is, but if He's big in us, if He's big in our minds, in our imaginations, or getting into agreement with what is true, then we won't be intimidated by the devil. We won't be afraid of our adversaries. We won't fear man. Fear of man is a snare. There's not a one of us here that has not struggled with that. Somebody say amen, right?
Amen.
But the God in you is greater than the giant in the world. And all it is really, like you've heard it said before, a mouse with a megaphone. He's making a lot of racket, a lot of noise, but compared to your God, the devil is no match. And that's why we must trust in the Lord and His ability and not put any confidence in our own. Amen? Just because I've got an education doesn't make me a man of God. Amen? It just makes me a knowledgeable person. A man and a woman of God are people that walk with God, that know God, that commune with God in the Spirit. Amen? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we're in that communion with Him, then we can be an expression of His heart, and the devil will know that this person has authority. They took note of Peter and John, wasn't it? Because they had been with Jesus. Ignorant, unlearned fishermen. But they'd been with Jesus. And boy, they took note and said, well, these are just not ordinary guys here. They look ordinary, but man, when they speak and when they pray for people, it's extraordinary. It's supernatural what's going on. Because folks, let's face it, our society today, they need to see who the true God is. The reason why these people are running after this and running after that is because the church has been in compromise. We've been in sin. And we've become weak and we've become powerless and we've lost focus. And they're looking at the church and say, what a bunch of hypocrites. It's time for that to stop. Amen. It stops here. God, we want you. We want to be with you. We want to make you known. We want people to see the real Jesus through us. Amen. That's what the world needs. They don't need us. They need Jesus. But he says, my speech and my preaching, verse 4, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I want to just say this, because someone will then say, well, wasn't that Elijah? I look at these great men of God in the past. The prophets, the priests, the kings, who were anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit was upon them, not in them. The Spirit was upon them, and they did amazing things. We look at Elijah and say, man, Elijah was awesome. Moses, awesome. But in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, Jesus says, this Holy Spirit that is with you shall be in you. Wow. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. You don't have to meet God in church. Hallelujah. Amen. But we meet God in church because God is in his people at church. And God's people should be in church because we're in community. Amen. We're here to learn and to help each other. That was another whole topic for another day. But so you may say, but that was Elijah. Well, listen to what James said. I'm going to finish here. James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit put this in here. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So what is he saying? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just a person. He was just a human being. And look what he did. Now, in context, James is talking about our prayer. He's talking about praying for the sick. If any among you are sick, let them call for the elders. Anoint with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. And he's saying, listen, Elijah was a man just like you and I. But look what happened. He prayed because he had faith. He saw that his God was bigger, amen, than what he had made him. And when we understand the immensity, the awesomeness, the greatness of our God, and we magnify and we exalt the Lord, and all of a sudden things start happening because we're getting into the truth now. All of a sudden it's great big God and little tiny devil. You get it? And so now you're not afraid of the boogeyman. I can turn the lights off at night. Some people can't, even as adults. They're afraid to turn the lights off. That's bondage. That is the devil duping you, lying to you. And if you know Jesus, well, if you don't know Jesus, then maybe you should be afraid. Amen? Because you are vulnerable. But if you know Jesus Christ and he's in you, you say, you know what? I'm going to bed tonight. Devil, you take a hike. God's promised peace to his people. He's promised to give his beloved sleep. And I like to sleep. I don't get a lot of it, it seems like, these days, but I like to sleep. But God does give us rest. Amen. So I'm saying this is because I want to encourage you to understand that God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it, how badly you sinned, how far away from God you may be today. God wants you to reconcile with him. God wants to bring you back. God wants to forgive. He wants to heal. He wants to restore you. He wants to set you back on a solid foundation. Amen. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And He wants to raise you up. And He wants to use you and send you out in the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of power and boldness. Confidence in God and not in self any longer. How many receive from the Lord today? How many understanding that you and God are a majority? Amen. Don't worry about that devil. He's given you the authority. You just got to know who you are. Amen. Now I want to ask you, if you just bow your heads for a moment, if you're here today and you're far away from God, or maybe you've drifted away from God, or maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, and you want to commit yourself to Him, right where you're at, you can do that. You need to do this thing first. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be willing to turn away from your way, which is the way of death, and choose His way, which is the way of life. It's that simple. You need to shift alliances from the devil to Jesus. Amen? From the world to the kingdom. So it's your choice. God says, come. Jesus said, come as you are. Come as you are. You don't have to take a shower before you get clean. Amen? Let Him clean you up today. Just come as you are. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All you who are stressed and under the burden of sin. And under the condemnation of your life and the things that you've done. And the shame and the regrets of yesterday. All those things Jesus wants to free you from today. Today, you can be free. That's why He shed His blood. So you could be forgiven and you could be restored to communion with your Father in heaven. And I want to ask you to pray with me today. If you mean business, let's pray together. And I want you to pray from your heart, though. This is between you and the Lord. I can't save anybody, but Jesus can save you today. If you're willing to give Him your life, I mean really commit your life to Him. I want you to make a decision today to do that. Because Jesus is coming. And He's coming for those who are looking for Him. If you're not looking for Him, you need to be. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. He may take you out of here today. We don't know how much time we have. But we need to be ready to meet our Maker. So the Bible says, be reconciled to God. Be made right with God. And you come by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood. He took your place on that cross so you could go free. Free from all the mistakes, all the things you've done that you regret in the past. God wants you to be free from that shame and from that condemnation today. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to pray a prayer together. I want everyone in the room, please just agree together. And for those beside you, amen, be praying right now. And say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died on the cross for my sins, and that You rose again on the third day for my justification, so I can be free from all the stupid things I've done in my past. I want Your life, Lord. And so I give You my life. And I ask You to take my heart, take my mind, my soul, my body. I give it to You. Help me to walk with You every day in Your ways. Lead me in Your paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Jesus, I confess. With my mouth, what I believe in my heart, God raised You from the dead, and that You are Lord of all. Jesus, You are Lord of my life, and I will serve You. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.